Well, it's a great joy and privilege to be with Westside Baptist Church tonight. And I know people aren't here to see me. They're here to see the baby. And the baby back there on the far right. So we're blessed of the Lord. The children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His delight. And we are so thankful for the Lord's blessing of children. And also friends in the ministry, and we brought a friend with us, Mr. Dave Decker, and he is a faithful servant of Christ at Beacon Hill Baptist Church, and also thankful that he could be with us today. You know, babies, they have a birthday every week when they're first born, so today is happy birthday week number two, and then next week number three, and then it's every month after that, every month. How old are they? They're two or three. And then you get the strange people. How old are they? 24 months. Why not just say 2 years? Well, no, they're just 24 months, 25 months. So, but it's a joy to be here with you tonight. I know you missed your pastor, and I know I'm a poor substitute for your pastor. And I hope you pray for your pastor. Hope you continue to encourage him in the Lord. And not only as he's gone, but as he's here, it's so important to have people that can come alongside a pastor and say, I'm praying for you. Is there anything you need? Can I be a servant to you in any way? And if you love God, you'll love your pastor. And so can I encourage you tonight? He's not here, so I can say these things. And he didn't tell me to say these things. But I would just encourage you to keep encouraging him and the work of the Lord. And come alongside him. God tells us that we are co-laborers together with the gospel. This is not his ministry. And this is the ministry of Westside Baptist Church, to whom God has called and collected here in Bremerton. And so let us remember that here as you serve the Lord and labor for souls. So I know you're preparing for your missions conference coming up at the end of this month. And over the next several weeks, I want to speak to you regarding missions or evangelism, personal witness. And so we'll look at three different topics. Tonight, we'll look at Bible doctrine and missions. Next week, God willing, we'll look at personal duty and missions. And then the third week, godly dependence and missions. Now, if you want to substitute the word evangelism or personal witness instead of missions in there, you can. But it applies to all. Bible doctrine and missions, personal duty and mission, and godly dependence and mission. And so tonight I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 18, as we look at the subject Bible doctrine and missions. And I want to encourage you in the Lord tonight, if you are weary or weak or if you are discouraged and downhearted, I want to encourage you in the Lord today in His work. As we turn to Acts chapter 18, we'll read verses 1 through 10 and then zoom in on verses 9 and 10. So I don't know what the custom of Westside Baptist Church here, but if you would please stand as we read God's word publicly. The Bible tells us, Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for this Lord's Day you've given to us, where we can gather together And we can worship you in spirit and in truth, in your house, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. And, O Father, we ask that the Spirit of truth would be our guide and our teacher tonight. May you enlighten our hearts and our minds to the message here. And perhaps I'm speaking to discouraged saints in the work of the Lord and the labor of souls tonight. Oh, how I pray that you would visit them as you have visited Paul in his journey and in his labors, that you might remind them of your promises, Lord, tonight. Oh, the work that we have to do is a great work, a great responsibility, oh Lord, but we look to you and we move forward by your strength and by your grace. And Lord, we ask for Pastor Houston, God, that you would bless him in his labors in Africa, God, that you would give him wisdom and discernment, and that you would lead him and guide him by your Spirit as he ministers to others, to the lost, and to God's people there. And Father, how I pray that you would speak to us tonight, that Christ might be magnified in our hearts and in our lives. And, O Lord, teach us of this most important topic, Paul's encouragement and the labor of souls, and how we need this, Lord, as the bedrock of our foundation of doctrine. And so, Lord, help us tonight. We ask for your grace and your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Bible doctrine and missions. The Apostle Paul, you know his testimony in Acts chapter 9 and how the Lord saved him mightily by his grace. He was a man yet breathing out slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord. He was a beast of a man. He was the man that you would point at and say, if anyone is beyond the grace of God, it's that man over there. It's Saul of Tarsus. It's that dragon who is breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples. It's that man who is a goat and he's kicking against God's word and God's authority. But where sin did abound, the Bible says, grace did much more abound. And no sinner is outside of God's saving grace and his marvelous power to save. And so God transforms this beast of a man from a goat into a sheep. And God has chosen the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, for a special mission. And his mission is to go to the Gentiles and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's by the preaching of the gospel that men are saved. And so he is laboring for the Lord, and his attitude is that if Christ could die for me, then certainly I can live for him. He has laid his life on the altar, and he is giving everything that he has to move forward to one goal and one mindset, and that is the preaching of the gospel to lost souls around the world. And so we see, as we look into Acts chapter 18 tonight, we see him on one of his journeys, and he comes to this city, a city named Corinth. And we know the response, for we read it there in verse 6. He is preaching and he is persuading the Jews and the Greeks, and he is passionate about the gospel. He is passionate about God's task as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. But any minister of the gospel and any Christian knows there are dark times that come in the life of each believer. There are dark times of discouragement that we all face. And so here we are given a glimpse into one of these dark times. So I want you to notice three things with me tonight, beginning with the doctrine of God's divine presence. Secondly, the doctrine of God's divine protection. And then thirdly, the doctrine of God's divine purposes. So we look at the doctrine of God's divine presence. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ here. As many are opposing the Apostle Paul, as many are blaspheming and speaking threatenings against his name, and it is ironic, for he was in this state. He was the one blaspheming the Lord before grace, before his conversion. And so we read in verses 9 and 10, the Lord spake to Paul in the night by a vision and says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. Christ knows our weaknesses and our dark hours of discouragements in his service. And while fear may visit the homes of our hearts, at times it must never take residence. When God's sheep and God's children are discouraged And this is a glorious picture that Jesus Christ comes alongside of us and encourages us in the work of the Lord. The book of Proverbs tells us that the fear of man brings what? A snare. It is a trap. And if Satan wants to do one thing to the children of God, it's to muzzle the mouth of believers so that they will not proclaim the glorious truths of salvation. And so it is the fear of man that muzzles a man's mouth to keep him from declaring the powerful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fear of rejection, the fear of opposition, the fear of criticism, the fear of failure. And perhaps I'm speaking to saints, to believers, to Christians tonight, and you sit under one of those categories. The Bible doesn't tell us what Paul was afraid of. Now we can assume perhaps that he was afraid of these who were blaspheming and opposing. He was afraid of his life. But we know not his heart. Where is your heart tonight? Christ has commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. He's commanded us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to be a witness. And you say, I cannot do it. I will not do it. What are you afraid of? Is it the fear of failure? Is it the fear that you might be a Moses and stutter when he's promised to be with your mouth? Is it the fear that you might mess up in their presentation of the gospel? Is it pride? What is it that's keeping you from sharing the gospel? Oh, dear saints, can I encourage you tonight? Paul tells Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind and of power. And so we see through scriptures, we see this glorious picture and this glorious encouragement of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God, how he comes alongside his saints and encourages them in the work of God. And to Moses, God says, go, and I will be with thee. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. To Joshua, he has said, surely I will be with thee. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, be not afraid. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. To Gideon, God says, surely I will be with thee. To Isaiah and Israel, God says, fear not, for I am with thee. Isaiah 43, 5. To Jeremiah, God says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And to his disciples and to us today, what does God tell us? The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And what is the apex that he finishes with? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so this is a flame that ignites our evangelistic zeal for the Lord, that he is with us, that we are not on a solo mission. He has told us to preach, but he has promised to be with us when we do preach. And so what a great encouragement this would be to the Apostle Paul. As he sits and as he sleeps and he thinks and he's afraid and he's fearful, and God knows the hearts of all men. So he says in verse 9, be not afraid, but speak. Paul's discouragement, we also see Christ's declaration. He says, speak and hold not thy peace. Thus we can boldly declare the mysteries of the gospel because we know God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God's presence is the gas on the fire of our evangelistic zeal. Paul's mission was not a solo mission. The guiding eye of the Lord Jesus Christ does not slumber. It does not sleep. And it is God with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so do we forget that as we go out and witness in this lost and dying world, in a world that rejects Jesus Christ, in a world that hates the gospel message? And you become fearful, and you bow under the fear of man, and you begin to shake in your boots, as you will. What is it that keeps you from opening up your mouth boldly? Oh, understand, even the Apostle Paul had to pray and ask his churches to pray for him for boldness. Christ's presence scatters our fears. So are you witnessing to a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker? Know that Christ is with you. You do not go alone. Christ will bless His word as you speak. Christ will strengthen your hand and give you wisdom. And we can boldly declare the gospel and tell others that Jesus saves because He will never leave us nor forsake us. So we see the doctrine of God's divine presence. But dear people, do you believe it? I can declare it, but do you believe it? And just look back at the times where you have experienced God's divine presence in your witness. And He's brought Bible verses to your mind. And He's brought arguments that throws those who are declaring untrue statements about God's word. It throws them against the wall and they have nothing to say. Their mouths are silent. Was it you? Was it your manipulation? Was it your wisdom? No. It was God. It was His Spirit. It was Christ coming alongside and helping you in the witness for Christ. And so we see God's divine presence. Secondly, we see the doctrine of God's divine protection. Notice it there in verse 10. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. In verse 6, we saw man's natural response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is it? When the natural man hears the gospel, do they want it? No. There's no peace before their eyes. All men have gone astray. They love their sin. That's why they won't come to the light. And so the natural response of man is to blaspheme. And we must understand this. Why? Because sinners are going to act like sinners. Unbelievers will act like unbelievers. And I think sometimes we think that the lost world should step it up a notch and live a little bit better. But they have no fear of God before their eyes. They don't know the way of peace. They don't know the joy of Jesus Christ. And so we should not be shocked when they oppose themselves and blaspheme the name of the Lord. Their hearts are hearts of stone. They hate God. They hate God's gospel. So they need God's saving grace. And no doubt, like our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul sits here fearful, perhaps of his own life, that they will kill Paul so that the gospel could be silenced. Was this the reason Paul was fearful? We cannot tell. But Christ not only reminds Paul of his presence, but his protection. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Paul, by my guidance, by my providence, I have you in Corinth for a reason. It's not going to be in vain. You're here, Paul, because I sent you here, and because I created you, and I saved you. And so I have my purposes. And though you cannot see the invisible hand of God, though you have no idea what's going on in the other side of the curtain, know for sure, Paul, I have a purpose. I'm working all things out for my good and my glory. And Paul takes great encouragement in this, the protection of God. And he takes great encouragement in the powerlessness of men. In other words, God is saying, evil men can do nothing to you unless I allow it. For God is the sovereign king and nothing happens without his permission. Though ungodly goats are kicking against Paul's message and the raging lions of Corinth are seeking to devour him, know this, Paul, God's providence will ensure that no man will hurt you or destroy you. Man is powerless against God. Do we understand that God is on his throne and he is ruling and reigning and his power and his majesty on high, he is doing all of his purpose. And I love, you know the account in John chapter 19, verses 9 through 11. Christ, Jesus Christ, our Savior before Pilate. Pilate saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? I love this response. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Pilate, you think you're in control, but you're not. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whithersoever he will. How foolish is man! How ignorant and arrogant to think that they are in control of what God is doing on earth. And though men here in Corinth may blaspheme and they may kick against God's message, know for sure God has Paul there for a reason. And the reason is that God's people will be saved, and they will be saved if Paul remains faithful and preaches it. And so he takes encouragement in this, and he says, God is with me, and no man shall hurt me. Wicked men, John Gill says, wicked men cannot strike a blow or do the least damage to a servant of Christ without his permission. He can tie their hands and restrain their rage. Don't you love that? Don't you love to know that God is in control and that he is with you? And though you have a coworker, and though you have a friend and you have a neighbor, you have somebody that you're witnessing to and they just don't want to hear it. And they may curse you out every time you say the name of God. But know this, that God's word will not return unto him void. He will accomplish his purposes and his wisdom, even if it means that they will stand before God one day in their lost condition and say, see how merciful I was to you. How many times I sent the servant of Christ your way and you rejected it. God is a merciful and gracious God. And he comes to Paul in his dark hour and he assures him, oh, Paul, my presence is with thee. My protection is with thee. And while those in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution, the Bible says, their persecution, imprisonments, martyrdom will not be in vain. You remember Acts chapter 16, just a few chapters before this, where do we find Paul? In prison, in jail, for preaching the gospel. But there again, the invisible hand of God has him there for a reason. Why? There's a jailer who needs to be saved, the Philippian jailer, who would call upon the name of the Lord, who would be affected by such a powerful testimony of the Apostle Paul, to hear them singing praises at midnight. Their circumstances weren't their problems. Their eyes were on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they understood God has us here for a reason. And we take great encouragement in that. Why am I here? Why am I in this job? Why am I in this neighborhood? Why am I in the family that I am? Some of you ask every Christmas. Why did God choose this? So that you can be a witness for his name. And oh, we take great encouragement. And though Thanksgiving dinners are sometimes ending in rage over talks of politics and religion, we can take great encouragement. God is with us. God will protect us. Stephen preached boldly the word of God and was stoned. He was killed for preaching God's word. Listen, yet the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, pierced a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. You don't think that had an effect on Saul's life? To see a man named Stephen who would boldly proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and to see the outrageous, sinful nature of man and take him out and kill a man just for preaching the gospel message. He would hold his coat as he was dying and crying out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You don't think that had an effect on Saul? He did not die in vain. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And so you say, well, what about those missionaries who died? God promised their protection? You know, if they die, if they're martyred, God will use it for his good, for the salvations of others. You are familiar with perhaps the testimony of the Whitmans near Walla Walla who were ministering to the Indians. He was a doctor, and the Indians got sick, and they thought it was the family's fault, and so they were going to kill the Whitmans and destroy them. And they were warned, the Indians are against you. They are going to kill you. You need to leave and leave now. And they say, no, the love of Christ constrains me, and I love these Indians too much. I'm going to share the gospel with them. And so they come, they slaughter their children, they slaughter their family. Then they find out they were warned. They were given a chance to leave, and they didn't. And they were won by Christ, by such a powerful testimony. Was it wasted? No. Just like Jim Elliot and their family who were speared in Ecuador. The husbands killed, and the wives said, we are going to stay by God's grace and witness to this tribe. God has led us here. God will keep us here. And so what did the wives do? They go and they witness in the name of Jesus Christ, and they win the tribe. Glorious testimonies God gives us as encouragements. So Christ comes to Paul and encourages him. Speak! Herald the word of God. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Are you fearful? Are you discouraged? Have you given up in your witness? Can I tell you, can I plead with you tonight? Don't. The invisible hand of God, though you do not see and you don't even see the success of your labors many times. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He says He will direct your paths. Don't give up. And I'm afraid too often Christians give up on our nation. Well, America has turned its back, and so it's all downhill from here. So let us stop praying. Let us stop witnessing. Let us cut back from our church attendance. Oh, we've chosen our ways. Wait a second. That kind of spirit is not in the pages of Scripture. We're to be on our knees. We're to be of a humble and a broken spirit before God, crying out for our people like a Jeremiah and Isaiah. Oh God, rend the heavens and come down. Visit us once again. Turn our hearts unto you again, that we might be a Jeremiah. Whether anybody hears us and obeys or not, we're staying faithful to His cause. Come to the streets of Seattle with me, as some men do. Just as we prepare to pray and start our witness, we get mockings that God is not real. We haven't even started. We're only praying and they're at it. Oh, but I can't tell you the testimony after testimony of a man who was held gunpoint that night and asked, do you ever think about death? Yes, actually, I was held at gunpoint tonight. I'm thinking about it right now. Was it an accident? No, God's providence. God has a people out there. So we look at the third point, the doctrine of God's divine purpose. Notice it, if you would, please, in verse 10. For I am with thee, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Why? Here it is, Paul. Are you ready? Take it in. Stop your other ear so it doesn't go out one ear and out the other. Here it is. Be not afraid. Speak. For I have much people in this city. The assurance of success, Christ Jesus, our Lord, our God, comes to Paul and says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It will be blessed. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to call sinners unto repentance. He came to save His people from their sins. And Paul is reminded of God's divine purpose. Here it is. I have much people in this city. Sinners will be saved through your labor and prayer and preaching. Keep preaching, Paul. God will transform the children of the devil into the children of light. He will translate them from darkness to light. God will regenerate the hearts of those you minister to, as we sang tonight. No power of hell, no scheme of man can stop God from accomplishing His purpose. So go, Paul. Do we believe it? Here in Bremerton, there are those ready to hear the word of God and to repent and to believe. We just have to go out and call them. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so we go out like the Sauls of Tarsus out there. There's a Saul of Tarsus. There's the man that you think will never be born again. And he's out there. And he's looking at testimonies of Christians, just like he did Stephen. So don't be too quick to judge. It may be the person with the bright pink mohawk and the kilt downtown Seattle. It may be that punk rocker at the mall. Don't be too quick to judge. God can transform and do anything with anyone. He did with me. Oh, if I could only take you back 11 years ago and show you how a rebellious young man I was. I would have laughed in your face if you would have told me I would be here this night 11 years ago. But it's God's grace and it's His power, and He will save
So do we believe this when we pray? I praise God I had a dad who prayed for me every day. Day after day, year after year. Why do you give up? God hears the prayers of the righteous, he tells us in Proverbs. You have not because you ask not. Did you see the Apostle Paul and others praying and laboring? Jesus Christ looking over Jerusalem and praying. They're as sheep, not having a shepherd. Or have we lost this sight of God's divine plan? In the absence of visible and immediate fruit, in the midst of weakness and depression, in the face of opposition, Christ reminds Paul of one of the greatest treasures the preacher and the church has, and it is the banner, God will save. God assures Paul of success, and if Christ has much people in the city, we cannot utterly fail, for the cause is his and not ours. He is the author of salvation, the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who opens the heart of men and women like he did to Lydia. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away from sin. It is God that gives the increase. It is the Spirit that convicts and enlightens the understanding and gives new life in the gospel. It is God's gospel that is the power of God into salvation. Again, John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "The Lord knoweth them that are his, and he knoweth them that will be his." God will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, church, we can leave tonight knowing that when we witness and we hand out a tract at the gas station or the grocery store, God is with you. God will protect you. God has given a promise, and the promise is of his purpose that he will save. Do you know who will be saved? No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Men must personally repent and believe the gospel. It is up to them. You cannot manipulate. You cannot force it upon them. And they must receive eternal life to become the children of God. Oh, but it is our duty and a great responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature. And it is their responsibility to bow their knee before such a king, and to humble themselves in the sight of the Lord, that they too might be saved. Is that you tonight? Are you lost? Are you a part of this phrase, much people? You're here in Bremerton, and perhaps you come to church Sunday after Sunday. Perhaps you grew up in a Christian home. But are you saved? Do you know Christ? Are you counted among God's people? Has there been a time and a place marked by a change, where you have cried out in desperation for God's mercy and for his grace? Has there been a time where you were broken over sin and you've understood that your sin was offensive before a holy and righteous God? When was that time? And is there fruit? Is there evidence that you're a child of God? How many, with their external piety and their external religion, and they can put on a tie and they can carry a Bible in their hand, and they can fool their parents, and they can fool their pastor, but you can't fool God. God knows your heart. And oh, this is a Sunday night, but if there were a Judas in 12, I'm sure there's a Judas in here. Do you know Christ? Come to him. He says, "Those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. All men have sinned. You have sinned greatly against God. But know this, that God in his mercy, he came to save sinners." And you're a sinner. Got in trouble out of jail a couple months ago. The man said, "You shouldn't tell people they're sinners." I said, "I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just telling you the truth, and the truth hurts. You've sinned against God greatly. Humble yourselves. Come to him. Look to Christ. Look to Calvary. See him there. He died, he was buried, and he resurrected to give you new life. Why will you reject him? Why will you turn away? Come from your heart, cry out, oh Lord, save me, lest I perish. Jonathan Edwards gives a picture as a spider web over the flames of hell, crying out for God's mercy. Oh, so the wrath of God is abiding on you. You don't have the presence of God abiding on you. The wrath of God is abiding over you. So come, bow before his cross, where the wrath is taken off and the righteousness of God is placed upon you. Young people, I lived a double life. Too long. I fooled my parents. I spoke the Christian lingo, the Christianese. I was in the youth groups. I went to the camps. But I was a lost teenager, and I knew it. I did it to please my parents. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. Life is a vapor. Why wait? Why turn him now? Why say no? Oh, come. Jesus is the author of salvation. He gives the assurance of success. And understand this, God will build his church. He will open the hearts of men. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash away sin. He did not die for nothing or no one. He died to redeem. And it is this bedrock of doctrine that faithfully keeps a missionary by the name of William Carey on the field of India for 7 years without one convert. Wow. Why? Because he knew God's people are in this place. And I need to be patient and prayerful and day after day preach the gospel because they will hear. And it is the same thing with Adoniram Judson in the country of Burma for 6 years before seeing any fruit from his labor. It is the same way with the David Brainerd faithfully serving the Indians in the eastern United States with years without a convert, years without visible fruit. You say, those were the foreign lands. Oh, foreign lands have come to America. How dry, how spiritually dry is our country. What keeps a church planter in Seattle? What keeps a church planter going downtown New York? What keeps a missionary on the field when they want to destroy him in Papua New Guinea and the witch doctors and all the men desire nothing that he leaves the tribe and the village? What keeps missionaries in Uganda? It is this doctrine. I have much people. People will repent. People will believe. Oh, but see also, God is the author. God gives the assurance of success, but it is by the authentic means and methods of preaching the gospel. The Bible tells us it is by the foolishness of preaching whereby men are converted. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we must stay true to God's means and God's methods. The preaching of the gospel. C.H. Spurgeon once said, our Lord did not say, Paul, be not afraid, but deliver a Sunday afternoon lecture with a nonsensical title and little or no gospel in it. God's way of saving souls is the best way after all. And here it is, church family, get this. If you do not have this doctrine underneath your feet in evangelism and missions, you will start looking to the carnal gimmicks and the worldly fads that surround us. You will be swept off your feet by the winds of compromise. And many good men and many good churches are being affected because their feet aren't properly fixed upon the rock and the Lord Jesus Christ and these promises. You remember Abraham? Abraham, I'm going to bless you with a son. Your only son. An heir from you, from Sarah. I'm too old. I promised it, Abraham. Patience, that word patience always comes up, doesn't it? Did he say when? Trust, obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus, to trust and obey.
Abraham felt he had to help God out a little bit, didn't he? Take my handmaiden. Maybe the promised child will come through them. Oh no, Abraham, the children that are born from those who are not your wife are children of the flesh. There's a child of promise I have promised you. And so today, we think we have to God and help God out with these carnal means and worldly methods. Well, they're just not coming in. So let's bring in the rock bands. Let's soften the message down. Nobody wants to hear about repentance. Nobody wants to be called a sinner. Nobody wants to hear about God's holiness and His justice and His sovereignty and that He can do what He wants when He wants. Let's just preach a Valentine's message every Sunday. God is love. You can come to Him however you please. You can have the world and Christ. Is that not the message of today? God's not working, so let's do something about it. Wait a second. How foolish. Men who forget this truth open up the door to so many things. But we must remember Hudson Taylor, the great missionary. God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply or His blessing. This is a promise. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, do we have to sell our cars and walk like the apostles do? No, we understand that. We have tracts and we have so many things that help us in our evangelistic means and outreach. But in the compromise of the truth of God's Word, and we see so many of this in our world today, like never before we see men bowing to compromise just to get people in. Let's give a hot dog to all the kids just so they can come in and say a little prayer. Let's give away iPads and let's give away this and let's do this and let's have the big name celebrities in so we can draw a crowd. Let's soften the gospel. Wait. Paul understood. God is with him. God will protect him. God has his purposes and will work them out. He has much people, but what does he tell him to do? Speak. Preach. Warn, pray, labor. It's when we grow lazy and comfortable and we stop believing God's word is truly sufficient that we bow to all these other things. Christ reminds Paul of the assurance of salvation. Christ reminds Paul of the author of salvation. Christ reminds Paul of the authentic means and methods for the salvation of men, the preaching of the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And understand this, church family, this is not just Pastor Houston's job. This is all of us working together. Preaching the gospel to every creature. We must stay true to God's blueprint, the Holy Scriptures, and obey His great commission. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Notice verse 11, Acts chapter 18, verse 11. Paul was fearful. Paul was discouraged. Christ comes along. Be not afraid. Speak, hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Verse 11. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. He was faithful. Christ helped him. Like never before, he was encouraged. He went forward in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did Christ keep his promises? Did Christ keep his promise to be with Paul? Did Christ keep his promise to protect Paul? Did Christ keep his promise to accomplish his divine purposes in Corinth? What is the answer? Yes, we have two books in the New Testament, 1 and 2 Corinthians, written to the church in Corinth. Christ kept his word.
A people were gathered together and a church was formed. Believers were together worshiping the Lord. And so Christ told Paul what would happen, and it happened.
And so to us today, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And every tribe and every tongue and every nation, God has a people that will believe. Do we believe it? The mission of the church is missions. Believer, are you discouraged? Are you fearful? Have you lost your evangelistic zeal? Understand, Christ is with you. Christ will protect you, and He has protected you. Even when you haven't seen His protection, He's there. And you haven't even acknowledged it, and He was there. He was faithful. And understand this, church family. God's divine purpose, God will bless. Don't be an Abraham. Don't go to a Hagar. God's given you a promise. What happened to Abraham's son, Jacob? Same ordeal. And let us not bash on them. We lack patience, don't we? And we go with our head down, and we're discouraged. Oh, but Christ comes to us and encourages us. How are we encouraged? Through the Word of God. Are you in the Word every day? Are you being encouraged? Are you renewing your mind in the Scriptures and in the promises of God? Are you coming to church? Are you faithful to church? People wonder, well, I want to be encouraged. I want to serve the Lord. Well, but they miss out on God's church. The church services, the preaching of the Word of God. Or we are adjusted spiritually, if you will. It's almost a chiropractic lesson in here. And even though it may hurt a little bit, you're adjusted and you're helped and it feels good. Because even though you were humbled greatly, it helped in your Christian walk. Don't forsake church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Be faithful. When the ladies get together and pray, be with them. When the men get together and have breakfast and pray, get with them. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Encourage one another in the Lord. And stay faithful to His mission to preach the gospel to every creature. You have people that have been on your heart this sermon. The Lord has reminded you of a lost family member, a friend, or a co-worker you've been working on, and perhaps you've gone a little weary. You know it. Be encouraged. Christ is our great encourager. Look to Him and look to this passage and believe it. And oh, church family, as we go out into the city of Seattle, into the state of Washington, into the United States of America, and to North America and around the world, know that God will accomplish His purposes. And He is calling us to be a part of it. It's a great privilege, a great responsibility. And where are we? Are we holding the ropes for the missionaries to go? Are we going ourselves? Are we a witness here in the town that God has called us to, in the workplace that God has called you to? Are you being a faithful witness, or is there a muzzle on your mouth? Take it off. Ask God to take it off. Help me, oh God. Pray. And just go. By faith. Preach. Maybe you need to fill your pockets with some gospel tracts. Maybe you need to pray more for your children. Maybe you need to get together with your wife or your husband and labor and family devotions again to pray for that lost grandmother, aunt, uncle, cousin, son. God has much people. Oh, may we take great encouragement from these promises tonight. The doctrine and missions. Do you know it? Do you believe it? Oh, may God help us. Let us stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.